Heavenly Father, we thank you. Help us, Lord, to be more like you day by day as we serve you and look into your word and grow in your grace. And we thank you for the wonderful privilege it is to be conformed into the image of our Saviour, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask now, Lord, that we would still our hearts and minds from the cares of the world and, Lord, allow you to, by your Spirit, to minister your grace and truth to our lives. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And if you're not already there, please open to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll be looking at those verses today. And the title of the message is Stirring Up the Gift. Stirring Up the Gift. A man who was raised by a godly pastor's wife, he told a friend of his that he remembers as he was going to bed each night from a young babe up to a young boy, that his mother didn't just sing to him little dainties and little nursery rhymes and so forth. She sang to him the hymns of faith. And when he was in his bed, he remembers her singing to him hymns like, "And Can It Be?" "My Jesus, I love thee, more love to thee, O Christ." See, this mother sang the deep songs. And he says, "I remember those hymns. In fact, when I got to church, I had heard and learned most of those hymns." So that was a contribution in that young man's life that he never forgot all the days that he lived. And no matter what we do, it's all related to the fact that what we get out of it comes from what we put into it. And nothing is more truer for that than family life. You reap what you sow, but you reap later than you sow, and you always reap more than you sow. And that's especially true when it comes to raising children. No one is poor who's had a godly mother. A mother who is willing to sacrifice themselves for their children. A mother who teaches them about the Lord. A mother who teaches them how to live a godly life, how to live a holy life, how to live a life of worship to God. They will reap what they sow. In fact, any parent will. The greatest way to sow these virtues into our children and grandchildren is to walk the talk and talk the walk. It's no good telling a child what they should be doing if the parent's not doing it. Children are the quickest people of all to pick out a hypocrite. It's like God's given them this ability to work out very quickly whether someone is right and true or whether they're not. Children look up to their parents and they take in far more than we will give credit for, and especially the mums who spend so much time with their children. And a Christian upbringing, a spiritual family atmosphere, are decided advantages for the children in your families. Now, text this morning, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, he writes a letter to Timothy, his dearly beloved son. He says, "Grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." And he says, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have a remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, the one thing a Christian has is the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. The promise of life eternal finds its fulfillment in one person only, and that's Jesus Christ. And the gospel that we hold so dearly to our hearts is the promise of life in Christ. You see, life is the end, but Christ is the way. Jesus said in John 14, 6, very clearly, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, that's nobody, cometh unto the Father but by me. In fact, 2 Corinthians 1, 20 tells us, for all the promises of God in him are yea, in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. You see, the one and most important thing anybody needs is the promise of life, life eternal. And today, the need for that message to go out into the world, and especially to the young children of the world, that's paramount. Children today are bombarded with all sorts of promises and choices. And those choices are made on what they decide to do or what they decide to follow. And if we don't give them the Lord to follow, the world will come in and give them their God. The need to educate children in the ways of God has never been more important for many, never more neglected than today. And you may be here saying, well, I'm not a mum and I'm not a dad. Well, let me tell you something. If you're in a church, you're in a family, and the life you also live is a life of testimony to the young children in a church. So it's very important. This message is important for all. Children need role models. Children need someone to look up to, someone they can imitate. What they are taught, they especially imitate what they see and hear. You know, quite often when I catch up with my family on rare occasions, they say, oh, that's what your dad used to do. Oh, you're just like your cousin so-and-so, it's family. And here we have Paul, he's expressing great thanks to God for Timothy. He's thankful for the tears that Timothy has shed for him. It doesn't tell us exactly what for. Maybe it was at their parting. Maybe for the trials of the ministry they went through. The journeys they'd been on together, sharing the gospel. But Paul had a great desire to see Timothy, and we're given the reason for that desire, that I may, verse 4 says, I may be filled with joy. And that leads us to ask a question. What was the reason for the joy Paul had in his dear friend, who he considered his own son? See, Paul remembered Timothy day and night in his prayer life. Verse 3. There must have been something that stood out about this young man, something that had affected the Apostle Paul very deeply, deeply enough to be in such dedicated prayer for his friend. Well, verse 5, praise God, gives us the answer. When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. See, Paul has remembered Timothy's faith. And he called Timothy to remember what that faith would accomplish in him. Now, our first point is that children remember their family's faith. This was a special sort of faith. It tells us there it was an unfeigned faith that dwelt in Timothy. In other words, it was a genuine faith. It was a real faith. It was a faith that was lived out. It wasn't a faith hidden away. It was lived out before him. It wasn't a faith that was hypocritical, that proved to do one thing one way but then go and do another the other. It wasn't a hypocritical faith. This faith was real. This faith was genuine. It was a faith that was so real, it actually captivated Paul's attention. That's how real it was. That's what he says, when I call to remembrance. See, that's not some passing thought. These are strong words. Call is to take hold of something, to captivate or arouse the thinking of the mind. And the word remembrance is a recollection. It's like a fixture. It has the meaning of being underneath something. And what Paul is saying here is that my thoughts of your faith are genuine faith. It's a faith without hypocrisy. It's been so captivated, it's so deep within my mind, they go way past just a recollection. It's real, it's there, it's a part of me. They're stored up deep within my memory and in my heart and soul. So where did the faith had to come from? Somewhere in this young man. It was a faith, though, that was passed down to Timothy. And it must have been strong enough to have such an effect on the Apostle Paul. It was a faith that was passed down from one generation to the next. You see, Christianity had been around long enough by this time to have this sort of effect on this young man. It was a faith that started with a grandmother, a mother, and now been passed on to the children. This wouldn't have been easy for them to do. This household wasn't a perfect household, none is. Timothy's father, he's an unbeliever. This would have been hard work for his mother and his grandmother. Acts 16:1 says, "Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." Would have been hard work. It's hard work to live in a family if only one parent's saved. Imagine the pull that's there as one says this and the other says do this. There would have been struggles, the pull between living for the world and living for God. But it's obvious by placing their faith in God, we see these two mums realizing all the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Do you know who preached that? That's Paul. But look at 2 Corinthians 1:19. "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, Silvanus," and who? "Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." You see, Lois and Eunice had scripture. You see, they had the promises that God had given to Abraham, the promises God had given to Moses and to Joshua, and they trained their child up in the ways of the Lord. But more importantly than training their children, they lived the way of the Lord. They practiced what they preached, spiritually, emotionally, physically. And it affected this young man. You see, it's a very easy thing to train a person in the theories of life. It's all easy to speak about doing the right things. It's a totally different thing to live it out before them. Children aren't silly. Look, they can tell, as I said, if a parent is doing what they say they are supposed to be doing. There's an expression that, well, we used to hear it often in our day anyway, and it causes a lot of harm when you're bringing up a child, and that is, "Do as I say, not as I do." That's not a very good expression. It's not a good witness, and it's not a good testimony to a child. But these women, you see, they live their faith openly. Listen, we live in a world out there, on this world that we live in, that wants your children. It wants to get a hold of them, it wants to captivate them, and it wants to take them along for the ride that the devil has set up on the way to hell. Christians are not called to do what the world does. The church, unfortunately, is trying to mimic the world to fill empty seats. That's what it does. They're the churches. They don't care what is taught. They just want to fill the room with the same music the world uses, but we'll just add Jesus in there somewhere and it'll be all right. Using books and videos and so forth, they do nothing but entertain the flesh with the name of the Lord tacked onto the end of it. But we're not to live the way the world lives. We're not to take part in the way the world takes part in certain things. And the way a Christian parent lives shows up in the character of their children. The children will imitate what a parent or a grandparent holds dearest to their hearts. And what we hold dearest to our hearts is a reflection of our faith in our great God and Savior. You know that this world wants mothers to feel like they're missing out on life. That's what it wants. If you're a stay-at-home mum, it wants you to feel like your time is wasted. If you're a working mum, it wants you to feel like you neglect your family. That's what this world wants to do. It doesn't want mums anymore because they call it now gender discrimination. You ever heard of the PLO? We've heard of them, haven't we? The Palestine Liberation Organization to fight the Jews. I was reading of one the other day, the BLO. You heard of them? That's the Barbie Liberation Order. Do you get that? It's funny. I know it's funny. But you know what they're doing? They go around, you have these Barbie dolls and you have the boy version. His name was Ken or something. And what they're doing, they're going into shops and the ones that have got the voice activator in them, they're swapping them over. So Ken now says, let's go shopping. And Barbie is saying, let's fight the war. That's true. Now that may be a bit of humour, but that is just a quick little picture of something that's far greater and something more disturbing that is gripping society today, and especially in our country today, and more importantly in the fundamental structure of the family unit, by the way, which was created by God. And the issue at hand here is the true nature of manhood and womanhood set out as created by God Himself. And it's taking a tremendous toll on the young men and women who no longer know what it means to be a man or a woman. Confusion over the meaning of who we are today is epidemic for young children. And the consequence of this, this is no just degeneration of man. This is a work of the devil himself to destroy the spirits and souls God created. The consequence we see is more promiscuity. We see more homosexuality. We see more lesbianism, more sexual abuse, more social awkwardness, more emotional distress, more suicide that comes with the loss of a person's God-given identity. And that's the truth. And unfortunately, the majority of what we call Christianity today is just going along with it. Doesn't matter who you are or what you think you are, let's just join the parade and put the rainbow flag up on the pole. That's what they're doing. And these people know no different. They don't. They think it's fine. They think it's all right. You know, we shouldn't judge and condemn them in themselves, because do they know the gospel? Do they know the standard? It's taken out of the schools. It's very rarely do we see any more true Christianity on TV. There was a time when I was a child and you had church on television. You see, God has placed a unique feminine calling on the lives of women. That's correct. Women are a priceless jewel in one of God's most treasured gifts, and that's the family. We need to understand, just as man was created in the woman, in the image of God, so were the women. And to be a mum takes faith. Not in a world system. Not in a system, a world system to provide what is needed, but in a God who has promised you, if you are born again, truly born again, who has promised to supply everything that you need. Philippians 4:19, we all know, but God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And it's one of those verses Christians quote off the tip of their tongue. But the challenge is, we need to live that. That's a promise we need to stand on, a promise that is real. Oh, it's a different day today. Rents are going up, wages are going down, everything's more expensive. What have you done? You've put God into the box of the world. You're not truly standing on the promises, and if we don't stand on the promises, how can they be fulfilled? Honestly, how can they? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your God? That's the greatest gift you can give your children today, for them to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And the faith that these two women had was active. It was alive. It was real. It was the very thing that occupied their lives. They lived a life that showed what it meant to be a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what they passed on to their grandson and their son. These mums stood out from the crowd. They didn't blend in with them. These are women. They lived their faith openly. They're open books. They gave their children access to their lives. And on that note, I want to say something also. Dads, that's the very thing you should be enabling the mother of your children to do. That's your responsibility. Lives that have Jesus as the center. You see, these women weren't too preoccupied with themselves. They were available to their family to teach their children God's ways. See, they weren't just Christians on a Sunday. They were Christians every day. They shared their faith in Christ, most importantly, by living it out before their family. And to live one's faith out openly is to pray with your children, to read the Word of God to them, to speak godly things to them, give them godly entertainment, because I can tell you now, the devil will give them his. Instruct them what is right with God and what is wrong before God. One man wrote, some children walk the high road while others tread the low. A parent's life determines which way a child will go. And grandmothers and mums, it is worth the sacrifice to train up your children in the ways of God. Because it'll be the difference, well could be the difference between where your children will spend eternity. And faith needs to be instilled into children. Faith in God is what is needed in the family today more than it has ever been needed. Now, this faith wasn't based on some creed. We can pull all the creeds out we like. It was no mere appearance of godliness or no mere appearance of holiness. It wasn't a faith that they used as an escape clause in some contract that they have. This is unfeigned faith. It was a faith of conviction. Faith that so believed in the risen Christ, it could endure the persecutions it faced. It could endure suffering, loss. It would live or die for the sake of Christ, with the sure hope of the most precious gift of all, the hope of eternal life. That's the faith to put into a child's life. Because without eternal life, there is no life. Secondly, the results of faith. Look at verse 6 and 7. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What a precious treasure trove of gifts. See, Paul now comes to Timothy and he calls out to Timothy. He says, live out this faith that's been instilled in you. You've been called, Timothy, to go and preach the gospel. You've been called to live the Christian life. How? 2 Timothy 2:3, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. See, salvation is the gift of God. It doesn't come from any work that we can do. We have no reason to boast about it as something that we've accomplished on our own. Christ Jesus is the one who purchased our salvation. He paid the price. He endured the penalty of sin, our sin, the sin of the world. And man was lost and without hope. But God sent his Son into this world, not to condemn this world, but through him that this world might be saved. Listen, this, if you haven't noticed, this is a very scary world that we live in. Listen, look around in this world anywhere and there's no real leadership in this world today. None. Unless you're in a good Christian home, in a good Bible teaching, preaching church, there's no real leadership left in this world. Not one country, one government, nothing. There are no guarantees in this world. People are scared. They're worried. You see, the world's love is not a love that endures. What the world has to offer is the opposite to what God offers. What God offers is exactly what the world wants. A life of power. That's what the world wants. The world wants a life of love. A life of sound mind. No greater gift can be given to your children than that. That gift comes only from a real, personal, and intimate relationship with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us here, the Word of God tells us, was persuaded that Timothy had that relationship with God, but it first started, it was passed down through the living, open, outward faith in Christ that Christ himself had produced in his grandmother and his mother. And Timothy's being called, stir up that gift. In other words, arouse it. Be excited about. How can children be excited about the Lord Jesus Christ, about a relationship with God through him, if the parents not? Oh, Sunday morning, we better get to church, I suppose. I'll read my Bible tomorrow. Oh, maybe I'll teach the kids a lesson next Saturday. Oh, that's exciting stuff, isn't it? Where's the exuberance? Where's the passion to know in a real way the Lord himself. To know there's a Savior that goes before you, a life that will see no end. A life that will stand up under any pressure, any force this world can throw at it, because it's not a life of this world. See, it's we're living a life for a world to come. That's exciting. That's motivating. That wants me to know, to get hold of the instruction book and work out how to put it all together. It's not like IKEA where you throw the leftover bolts away. This is real. There's nothing left out. Everything fits into its place. Timothy's being called. Stir it up. Be excited, Timothy. You have a city to live in whose foundations cannot be moved, whose builder and maker was God. And whatever he calls you to do, you can do it because it is Christ in you that assures you of victory. That's what children need to be hearing at home. Stir it up, Timothy. Live it out. Take a hold of it. Let the truth of your salvation that was so diligently taught to you through your grandmother and mother, let that take a deep root in your life. Let that faith become the reality of your life as you're called to live in this world and live for your God through every circumstance you face in it. You know, there's no greater privilege to bring up a child in the ways of the Lord, to know the Lord, to serve the Lord, to love the Lord. And I hope you're encouraged today, because if your children may have walked away from the Lord, but if you've put it in them, nothing from the Word of God is ever in vain. For God hath not given us, verse 7 tells us, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, God has not placed in the believer a spirit of cowardness. In fact, the opposite is true. Those who know God have a spirit of power. They aren't afraid of what may come. They're not scared of the battles they face in life. What a gift to give your children that sort of assurance that they can face and handle whatever may come in the full assurance of their faith in Christ having gone before them. What a gift to give them. They can endure the hard times. They can endure the persecutions. They can endure the hindrances that will come their way in this world. Why? Because the power of God is at work in their lives. To live the opposite of that is to be hypocritical. It's to show them, well, hang on a minute, God has given us a spirit of power, but I don't see that power at work in mum and dad. I don't see that power at work in my grandparents. They need to see it. They need the full assurance that their faith in Christ will give them a spirit of power. Those who know Christ also have the spirit of love. You see, they have a love for what God loves. God loves souls. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. God loves strong, godly families, brotherly love. God loves righteousness and holiness. God loves justice, grace, mercy, sacrifice. See, godly love requires those things. See, there's no limit There's no law against godly love. What a privilege it is to train up a family to produce godly love. And those who know Christ have a third gift. They have the spirit of a sound mind. Isn't that beautiful? A sound mind. If anything is needed today in this world, in the people of this world, especially in the young people of this world, it's a sound mind. A sound mind produces, first of all, self-control. You see, a sound mind is not easily led astray. It's a life that seeks godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. It produces not just common sense, it produces godly sense. It's a spirit that says no to what is wrong before the Lord and yes to what is right in His name. You see, these children will grow and they will make their decisions based on God's word. Decisions that will keep them from making wrong choices, keep them from wrong desires, wrong relationships. You know, what a legacy that is to instill in the family. And mums, you have the greatest opportunity of all to start your children on the way to this life of dedicated to following the Lord. You may have a father in the house that is dedicated as well. You could well be the only one who is bringing up your family to love the Lord. And when God permits a child to come into our homes, He entrusts to us a soul, and listen carefully, a soul that will never die. Never, the soul never dies. Whether you're lost or whether you're saved, the soul never dies. And it is the grave responsibility and a duty to train the children in the things of the Lord. And Timothy had this training from his grandmother and his mother before him. And Paul's saying, he says, man, I'm persuaded, Timothy, that you possess the same pure faith as your mother and grandmother. And the truth is the same for all of us. There's no excuse not to look to God to quench our fears, because God has not given the believer a spirit of fear. We can remain steadfast no matter what the opposition is. No matter what the devil may try and pass through our minds. He can't know what we're thinking, but he can certainly pass things our way. We can call to remembrance that our God is a faithful, unchanging God in the midst of an ever unfaithful and changing world. And as a life is dedicated to bring up the family in the light of His truth and His promises, He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will never falter or fail to bring to light the truth that we can rely completely on Him to bring about every single promise that we stand on. What a God and what a Savior to give to our families. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this wonderful passage of Scripture. To understand the importance, Lord, of not just words, but a living witness to the power of God at work through us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, before our families. It'll never go void. It'll never be wasted. God has promised us that. And as we train up our children in the way they shall go, they shall not depart from it. Lord, we need to make sure we stand upon Your promises to keep firm our faith in You, not just in word and deed, but in a personal relationship we know is real and intimate. all through the sacrifice of your Son and his shed blood. We praise you and thank you for the forgiveness of our sin. From the power, the deliverance of the power of sin. We stand with no excuses. We look forward to the day when the presence of sin is gone forever. All because of what you have done for us. Stir up, Lord, within us that wonderful truth. The gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the relationship we have because of him with you. These things we pray, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.